You know, you were so fortunate to be able to go to Oklahoma City University, yes, to be at home and live in that, which, and that they had that strong department there.
Isn't it? Wasn't that amazing?
Right. And I don't think any other college in Oklahoma
has it.
They hadn't
produced that kind of in that field. And she produced, you know, several of her singers sang at the Met and City Opera, New York City Opera, and over in, you know, Europe. So she, Inez Silberg, she produced a lot of, mm-hmm, she was a great teacher. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the department worked with her to help us do operas. I mean, did we actually, we had members from the Oklahoma City Symphony that were conducting us, and it was really magnificent. I couldn't have put that together. God did that. I couldn't. How could I know where to go or anything?
Right.
Yeah.
For those of you who want to listen to Leona's voice, all you need to do is Google or go to YouTube. Mm-hmm. Go to YouTube, and I have listened to several of your songs, mm-hmm, and opera by YouTube. So, mm-hmm, be sure to listen to Leona's voice. It will just blow you away. Did you like living in New York?
Well, I was right in New York. I was two blocks from the Met. I was on 67th and Broadway. We had an apartment on the 40th floor. But yes, and it was so hectic for me at that time. I love New York, but I was not just in New York. I was always moving about. I would be in New York, you know, maybe 3 weeks, and then I'm off to Australia. I went to Australia 25 years in a row. I learned a lot of my roles there. And I love my opera house because my room, my dressing room, the boats you could see sailing. Mm. Oh, God, that was so romantic and fabulous in Australia. So I loved my time there. And then I would also be just all over Europe, you know, 6 weeks here, 4 weeks there. We were jumping about all the time. Actually, I looked at one of my books that I kept, and I guess got exhausted looking at it. Because in the midst of all of this, we're doing interviews for papers, TV, and so you have to schedule all of this. And then I had a child. I had a child at 30. I was 34. And I remember I was on tour with the Met when they did tours in the United States. And I was 7 months pregnant, and I was getting so tired and big, and I was doing Air Nanny. They kept teasing me. The conductor said, "You're not going to have that baby on stage, are you?" And then, so I had to put that in the mix. And so when the baby was born, he was 6 weeks old, and I went straight to Berlin. I was making my debut singing Aida. This little baby was all over the world traveling with me. So that was different and hard.
And that little baby's name?
His name is Elmer. He was named after his dad. My husband passed away 10 years ago. But he was named after his father. He's Elmer the Fourth, and he's a high-functioning autistic young man. So he's still with me.
Hmm. How old is he now?
He's 39. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But there was a time then at the Mets, mm-hmm, that they dismissed you.
After 18 seasons.
Yeah.
And I was still producing. So you can see a lot of things on YouTube. They didn't say I was not singing well. But I don't know. It just seemed to be, that's the way they did at the Met. They kind of, I remember when I came in, they were trying to usher out some of the older artists. And I remember the great James Jones Sutherland and, mm-hmm, Marilyn Horne, they were bringing in the new. And so they fought, though, Marilyn and those, they fought to stay a little bit longer. And so I think, because right after me, I think 2 years later, they let Kathy Battle go and they let Jesse Norman go. So that's how it was. They thought they wanted to bring in the new, and they're letting out all this gold. You don't need to do that until the people actually cannot produce anymore.
But you were in your mid-30s.
No, right? No. I was 43.
43 when
yeah,
they dismissed.
But I still had, there are YouTubes of me at 63 singing. Mm-hmm. And so I still had a lot left. And so I sang all over Europe after this. A lot of videos of me doing things after that point. But
what did that do to your ego?
My ego, it was horrible. Because I wanted to be like Luciano and them. I wanted to do the 25th silver anniversary, which I, and I, by the way, there has been no other soprano that's been there in my FOC that's been the leading soprano that's been there 18 seasons. Hmm. They normally are 5 or 6 or 7, mm-hmm, come back here and there. So I'd already had a huge run there. So, but I really wanted to do the 25th year, but I didn't get to do it.
It affected your nerves, I suppose, huh? When that all happened to you.
Oh, no, but besides you, they cut your money off. It was terrible.
But then you were earning like, money elsewhere.
I know, but it still starts to creep in. And matter of fact, I had a, right after that, it was a horrible situation. I because people said, Leona Mitchell just fell off the map. People didn't know what happened. Mm-hmm. Some devious people were making, saying, they retired me. They said, she's retired. Hmm. I didn't say that, but they were putting word out I was retired. And then some were saying, well, she's just not singing as well. And so I remember I was to sing in the United States a concert, and this lady, you know, from, I don't know, Federation of Music or whatever, I agreed to do a concert. And then she calls me back, and she says, well, you know, do you think we could get rid of the contract because I heard you're not singing well? Hmm. Oh, it killed me. I never thought I'd hear that in my life. And I said, oh, my God. I remember I was going to Australia to do something right after that, a big opera. And I said, no, I am not retired, and I'm singing well. And it was just before the internet was taken off, so I didn't have a big discography. And so I couldn't really send her things to show her that. But I said, no, we're not doing the contract. I will be there, and I will sing. Well, when I finished singing, she didn't know what to say. The whole audience came to my feet. Because I was still, I mean, it was me.
Okay, and this is where?
In Arkansas. I was in Arkansas singing a concert.
Okay.
And so she was just flabbergasted. And I felt bad for her because she was just a piano. I mean, no, she wasn't really. She didn't know. But she was horrified that she treated me that way. Mm-hmm. And she was horrified that I really could sing, but she had been told I could. Mm-hmm. And she hated that she had put me through that. But, yeah, it was terrible.
I hate to bring up, is prejudice involved in any of this?
No.
Okay.
Not that.
Right.
No, no.
Right.
I did have one, just only one occasion that happened to me. I was to sing Dona Anna in Glyndebourne, I think. And the director didn't want a black soprano. And I never knew about it except one of the other major singers was told, and he wrote about it in his book. Hmm. Or one director told about it. So I didn't know about that, but that was the only time. Other than that, no.
Were there many?
It was wonderful.
Many blacks in opera?
Oh, God, in Europe.
In Europe, yeah.
Yeah, now I had a time because when I went to the Met, there were not many black men singers at all. None. Hardly, none. And so I made mention of that in Opera News, and it got me in big trouble because they didn't want me to talk about the racism for black men. And so I think that followed me. As a matter of fact, some of my managers and everybody told me that went against me. They thought I was a troublemaker. So I spoke out about black men.
It would have affected you.
It affected me all along because it affected me in the record business. Because they wouldn't record me, and I was I was just God was letting me sing so well that they really couldn't get rid of me for a while, but they didn't really want me. I was a symbol about that.
So then, yes, you needed to do more albums to prove yourself.
Yes,
and so you had a hard time getting a label to sign on to.
Yes, they wouldn't do it,
and because of
some of that controversy with black men. It really came to that.
Wow.
And it worked against me.
But did you end up...
I did a few recordings, but nothing like I should have had. I should have been a household name like Kathy Battle or Jesse. Because I was doing all the elite galas, elite performances, and new productions at the Met and everything, but I was not getting that where you didn't have to prove yourself every single time you stepped on a stage.
So then I suppose you get to think, do people...
Oh, it was a horrible time for me.
Do really people like me?
Oh, God, it was awful.
Didn't you sing in Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a moving experience for you?
It was because it was after that time they had been let go. Oh, yeah, it was so moving. Wow, those people.
Well, I saw you through YouTube... come out on stage.
You saw me crying.
And the applause.
Oh, it was a deafening.
It was like, hey, people like me.
Oh, my God.
It's beyond.
It was the applause that you give people that have recordings and have the Placido and Luciano get. It's just the applause. That's what you get. And those are well-known people through their recordings more than even their performances. So I was, you don't get that kind of applause unless you're just either that or that you, they think you're wonderful. And they did. And this is what I kept getting all along, even as I left the Met. That was the kind of applause. So I knew that, but it was hard.